Father, we thank you for what you've already done. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and break open the word, to come and reveal. Father, we know that it's by your word. It's actually like Pastor Inka said on the video, God, that when we receive a fresh revelation of who you are, God, we can never go back. So I pray, God, that this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would break open the word of God and that you will come and transform us as our minds are renewed, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to, if you have your Bible, go there because we're going to look at quite a few scriptures. We're going to go to Romans. So you can open. We're going to start Romans 7. So you can go there. If you don't have your Bible, not to worry. I've got it on the screen as well. But we're going to look at three chapters in the book of Romans. So Paul wrote the book of Romans to the believers in Rome. And the book is basically split up into two parts. So the first part is chapter 1 to 11 is kind of Paul is explaining what we as believers believe. He's explaining the gospel. He's explaining the facts of the gospel. He goes into detail. You can read through the whole thing. But he goes into detail explaining what the problem is, that there is sin and the sinfulness of man is causing a problem between us and God. And that is why God had to make a plan to come and redeem mankind. And that plan was Jesus. Jesus came. He took all sin upon himself because God is a just God. He needs to punish sin. Otherwise, he wouldn't be just. So all sin was placed on Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. And more importantly than dying is he rose again after 3 days. So he explains this, and because of what Jesus did, we can be saved by grace through faith. That's what John said this morning. It's a free gift, but it wasn't cheap. Jesus paid with his life, with his blood for us. And that's chapter 1 through 5, explaining kind of the facts of the gospel. And then we're going to look at chapter 6, 7, 8. We're not going to read all of it, but I just want to tell you where it fits in. And then the second half of the book of Romans, chapter 12 to the end, is now that you know what you believe, what you received when Jesus died, how do I behave as a Christian? Okay, so that's pretty much the book of Romans. But we're going to look at chapter 6, 7, and 8. And we've seen now that Paul, chapter 1 to 5, he's laid the foundation. This is what we believe as Christians. This is what Jesus came and did for us. This is the facts of the gospel. And then in chapter 6, 7, and 8, he says, part of what Jesus did, he explains that now that Jesus died and he rose again, he took all sin, he took all sickness, he took all of that to the grave and he overcame and he rose again. Paul explains that there's a freedom that we receive because of what Jesus did. And this morning we're going to look at specifically two portions of our inheritance. Do you know that you have an inheritance, okay? So I'm starting now at the end, but let's maybe start there. It will help. We all, and we're going to see that at the end of chapter 8, we became, once I say, Jesus, be Lord and Savior of my life. I invite you in when I became saved. Being saved is just saying, I'm no longer Lord of my life. Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. There will be an opportunity at the end if you still need to do that. But once you become saved, Paul is saying in chapter 8 that you become heirs and co-heirs with Christ. That means you and I become a child in the house of God. How amazing is that? We become the kids. So you are no longer outside. You come in and you are one of the kids. You become a co-heir. And there are a lot of things that we inherit because of what Jesus did. And our inheritance is, I've said it many times, it's in the bank account. My uncle died, my great-granduncle that was very wealthy, maybe from the UK somewhere. He died, he left, it's a story, it's not real. He left me 100 million rand. The attorney phones me saying, it's in the bank account. You have received, you have inherited 100 million rand. And my life hasn't changed anything because I've received a phone call. But the money is in my account. But until I go and I actually draw some of the money out at the ATM and I go and buy myself new clothes or whatever I need, or I swipe the card, until I access my inheritance, it will not make a difference in my life, right? I can have the money sit in the bank account and will not change anything in my life. And it's the same with the Lord. There's a whole bunch of things that Jesus paid for that's in our bank account because we are co-heirs with him. We are titled legally, that is ours, but it's up to us each individually, God, how am I accessing? Does that make sense? And the biggest, the first step to accessing what Jesus paid for is the renewal of the mind, is how we believe. So we're going to look at two things, and we're going to start with chapter 7. And Richard was not very happy for those on the church WhatsApp group. Did you see my, I don't have it up here. My title of my message is A New Husband. And Richard looked at it yesterday morning, and he's like, this is not working for me. And I said, no, everybody will understand. And he actually asked me, he said, please just take Jolene Wade off the slide. So he said, I must just not, A New Husband and Jolene Wade doesn't go together. So just know that I'm not looking for a new husband. I don't have a new husband. I don't want a new husband. I'm quite happy with mine. But we're going to look at chapter 7, where Paul explains that we actually all got a new husband, okay? You're going to, for the men, you're very uncomfortable, and that's good. You should be uncomfortable, but Paul is using this example of marriage to explain what happened when Jesus died and he rose again, okay? So we're going to read verse 1 to 6. Is it up there? Oh, thank you, Daniel. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. Okay, we all know that. When you get married, you promise till death do us part, okay? So in this case, Paul, I'm going to explain and then I'm going to read further, otherwise we're going to take too much time. So Paul is saying, you are married to a man called Mr. Law, okay? That's he's explaining, he's using marriage to explain what happened when Jesus died and rose again. Okay, you were married to Mr. Law, and we're going to listen, look now. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So God, Paul is saying, let me read further. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ. That you may be married to another, to him who is Jesus, who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit of death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Okay, that's a whole bunch. But Paul is explaining that one of the things, and we're going to look only at two things that we have been freed from through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the first one is the law, okay? The law, and Paul explains here is we were married to a Mr. Law, but then Jesus came and he died and he rose again, and we, Mr. Law died, and I have the opportunity to be married to Mr. Grace now, okay? I heard a story once about this, and it was a beautiful story about this lady. When she was very young, just out of high school, she got married to a husband, her husband, and on the wedding night, he gave her a list of things she had to do. He expects her to make sure the house is in order. He expects her to, when they have kids, the kids must be well kept, their teeth must be brushed. He expected her to act in a certain way, always respect him, respect is good, to always respect him, but it was a list of about 10 things she had to do. And she read this thing, and he told her at the end, if you don't do it, there will be consequences. Okay? That's what she received on her wedding night. So you can imagine the fear for this young lady, and for many years, and for many years, this young lady, this wife, did everything on this list. And she did it, and her motive was she knew that if she didn't obey, something would happen. Something bad's going to happen. Punishment will enter in. And eventually, after many, many years of serving, of doing everything for her husband, he died, and she was free to marry another. And initially, she thought she's not going to marry again, but then she met this guy who completely swept her off her feet. And he treated her well, and he brought her flowers, and he wooed her, and he asked her to marry him, and she said yes, And he loved her. He would come back after work and ask her, actually look into her eyes and say, how was your day? Have the kids given you a lot of trouble or are you doing okay? How can I make you a cup of coffee? He served her. He loved her. And one day after being married for a number of years to this new husband, she was cleaning out a cupboard and she found this list of the first husband. And her heart was going, I remember receiving this letter or this list. And she opened it up and she read through the list again. And she realized, I'm actually doing it all for the new husband. But the difference is, he never brought in the fear of punishment. He never required, it wasn't rules, it wasn't regulations. First, she was married to Mr. Law, and the new husband was Mr. Grace. You see, Jesus didn't come and say, it's an excuse, I'm giving you an excuse to disobey the law. I'm not giving you an excuse to live a sinful, unholy life. Jesus came and said, I fulfilled the law. And the law was actually, it's there to help us realize. And you'll read on, if you read on the rest of chapter 7, Paul is saying the law is good. It's not bad. We're not throwing out the law. Jesus came to fulfill it. But Paul is saying the law helps us realize what is sin and what is not. Ne? And you'll read further and you'll see there that Paul is saying, I wouldn't have known what is covetousness. As jy iemand se goed begeer, covetousness, unless I've had the law to tell me don't covet your neighbor's wife or his car or whatever it is. So the law is not bad, but Jesus came and he said, it's you are no longer married to Mr. Law. You are now married to Mr. Grace. That's what we have been freed from the law. And for some of us, we either slip back into the law, and I'm for one, I find myself sometimes going through things and I realize it's actually become a ritual. And ritual is religion. Religion is Mr. Law. And I've slipped back under the law because I'm thinking if I'm not doing this right, if I'm not praying enough, if I'm not fasting enough, if whatever you fill in the blanks, then there will be punishment. Then there will be no protection, whatever it is. And Paul is saying, you don't get it. You don't get it. Once you become saved, there's an invitation to a relationship. There's an invitation for me to say, oh, Jesus is the lover of my soul. I'm married to Mr. Grace now. And I want to please him. I live a holy life. We're going to speak about sin now, but I don't want to break that. I don't want to commit sin. Why? Not because there's a footnote that says I'm going to be punished. If you struggle with fear of punishment, I want to tell you that's under the law. Jesus is saying it's not about punishment. It's about the sin. We often say it, the sin is not, God is not falling off his throne when we sin. The problem with sin is it separates us from him. It separates us from him. If I love Richard, my husband, I love him with all my heart. And if I know, if I'm going to either speak about badly about him behind his back and he finds out, or worse, I sleep with another man, what's our relationship going to be like? There's going to be a distance, right? There's going to be a distance between us. And it's the same with Jesus. He's saying, it's all about relationship now. It's not about the rules. It's not about you being punished. It's about an intimate relationship with him. He's saying, we've been freed from the law, but the invitation is there to follow him because we want to and because of an intimate relationship with him. Does that make sense? So the first thing we were freed from is we don't do religion. We don't have to follow a set of rules. We get to know the lover of our soul. And we get to choose to not have stuff in between that separates. So if you are struggling still realizing, I'm still living under religion. I'm just doing stuff, but I don't really know him. And I don't even know if he really knows me. Then this morning there's an invitation for you to say, I'm done with religion. I'm done with worrying what other people will think. And I'm doing things and I'm worshiping. You know, even in a church like us, when we worship lifting our hands up, it can be religion. It can be. Why? I'm doing it just because I want everybody to see I lift up my hands. Or am I doing it because I want to please him? I want to please him, the lover of my soul. Romans 12 verse 2 says, we are transformed by the renewal of our mind. Once we start thinking the way Jesus thinks, our lives are transformed. We don't get transformed from the outside in. Okay? You would have tried. If you tried to to start a new diet, all these New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the year, I'm going to change this and this and this and this. We don't change from the outside in, we change from the inside out. So if we need transformation, we need to start with our minds. And one of the things is that we need to know that we are no longer under law. We are married to Mr. Grace, all right? The second thing we're going to read in chapter 6. So you can go to chapter 6, verse 4. Paul is saying there, the second thing, so the first thing is you've been freed from the law. The law, religion, rules, fear of punishment, that's not your portion. That's not our inheritance. The second thing we've been freed from is we've been freed from sin, okay? I'm going to speak about that a little bit. Verse 4, it says there, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. So we, when we get baptized, we associate, we die in the spirit with Jesus and we get raised again. Eh? That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man was crucified with him. Our old man, our sinful nature, our flesh was crucified with him, okay? That the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Okay, and then we skip to chapter of verse 11. It says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be indeed free. Dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not, don't give an order, and do not present your members as instruments of righteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and to your members as instruments of righteousness of God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are no longer under the law, but under grace. Okay, that's a whole lot. And I don't really want to talk to you about sin. I want to talk to you about your freedom. So you might read this and you're like, oh, it's about sin. I don't want to talk about sin. I'm scared. And we have to talk about sin in the church. But the good news is, it says here, verse 7, we read it. Verse 7, it says there, you have been freed from sin. Verse 11, dead indeed to sin. If you go down to verse 18, it says there, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Verse 22, further down, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, when you get saved, you are set free from sin. But you see, the problem is we don't know that I have become a new person. The old me died when I got baptized, when I got saved. The old me died and I rose again. So I have dominion over sin. Sin is like the enemy under my feet. And I feel for many of us, in our minds, we think we are just a victim or a receiver. I just need to manage my flesh or my temptations. But Paul is saying, no, you don't get it. You are not a victim. You are victorious. You are not at the mercy of whatever the enemy throws at you. You are not at the mercy of whatever you are struggling with. Proverbs 23:7, I think I've got it up there. It says there, as a mean man thinks, so he is. And I'm hoping some of you get this. I know that this might be a whole bunch of stuff, but I'm hoping for some of us that we will get it in our thinking, because the thing is, the way we think, that's how we will act. If I think that whatever my struggle is, whether it's some sexual sin, pornography, whether it's my mouth cursing or lying or gossiping, whatever it is, if it's eating too much, if it's eating too little, if it's throwing up what you're eating, whatever it is that you know, God is not happy with this. Not because he's going to punish you, but because it is separating me from Jesus, okay? Whatever that thing is, the enemy wants you to believe that you will always struggle with, you fill in the blanks. Dit is maar net my lot in die lewe. Okay? I will always struggle with this thing. Oh, but my parents struggled and my great-grandfather struggled. So it is just the way it is. But I want you to see here that once we start believing and seeing and changing our minds and saying, no, but that's not what the Word of God says. Paul says in Romans that I am free from sin, that I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave to my addictions, to my flesh, to my body that needs something, whatever it is, whatever substance, whatever it is. We are not victims or slaves to those craving. Paul is saying, you have become a slave to God. You have been freed from this. Does that make sense to anybody? And we go to chapter 8. I don't want to take too much time, but chapter 8, verse 2, you're going to see the same thing. Chapter 8, verse 2 to 6, we read there, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So Jesus became sinful flesh. Okay? All of that he took to the cross on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For this is the same as Proverbs 23. Listen to this. Why did he do all of that? Why must we understand all of this? Because the way a man thinks, so he is. Listen to verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to the carnally minded is death, but to the spiritually minded is life and peace. Okay? I know Romans can be, is this difficult for anybody? Is it like, what? What gaat die aan? I'm sorry, we're going to pray for you at the end. Okay? It is. But guys, we cannot skip over the difficult parts of Scripture. We've got to wrestle with it. But Paul is saying here, he's saying, for if we are spiritually minded, we put our mind on the things of the Spirit, of the flesh. If we are fleshly minded, on the things of the flesh. If we are spirit minded, on the things of the Spirit. And Proverbs is saying, as I think, so I am. So if I don't believe, I cannot afford to have a thought in my mind that doesn't align with the Word of God. Why? Because the way I think, it impacts the way I am. Okay, I'm transformed not by what I do, how many times I go to church. I'm not transformed by how good a life I live. I'm transformed by the renewal of the mind. I need to get the mind of Christ. That means I need to wrestle with these scriptures. What does it mean? Does it mean when Paul is saying, I am free from sin, I am no longer a slave to sin, I'm a slave to righteousness. What does it mean? Does it mean I never sin anymore? No, but it does mean that you should be sinning less because you are a powerful person. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying you're more powerful than you realize. You have been freed from sin. That thing, that addiction, that struggle, you actually have been freed from that. But if you don't believe that you've been freed, you're not going to be free. You see, because it starts here. So I know this morning I'm struggling, but it's not you or me. It's in the Spirit. The enemy doesn't want us to know that we are free. He doesn't want you to know what Jesus paid for and what's all in your bank account. Why? Because he knows what's in the bank account. And he knows if you don't access it, you're still going to live as a poor person, even though you've got 100 million in the bank. And one of the things that we're talking about this morning is that Paul is saying, you've been freed. That thing you're struggling with, you shouldn't actually be struggling with it because Jesus paid. He took all of that to the cross. And then we're going to finish with verse 12 of chapter 8. It says there, therefore, all of this means, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. If you are saved, you are led by the Spirit of God. Okay? That means you are a son and a daughter of God. That means that inheritance, that bank account, that's yours too. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. He's saying when you get saved, you're married to Mr. Grace, don't go back to Mr. Law. You know, I can be married to Richard and he can be amazing and I can still choose to sneak out at night back to Mr. Law, to another man. And some of us do that. I'm saying I'm married to Jesus now, I'm living under grace, but I keep on going back because, oh, I didn't read enough Bible this week, so God is going to punish me. That's not God. Does he want you to read the Bible? Yes. But he's not saying there's punishment, there's rules. God is saying, no, no, no. You don't get it. You read the Bible because you love me, because you're under grace. Does that make sense? So it says there, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, here's our thing, then heirs, and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we might also be glorified with him. You see, we are part of the household of God. We are children in his house. And I can tell my kids, there's a fridge full of food. But if my kids keep on saying, I'm so hungry, I went to bed hungry last night. Mommy, I'm really, really hungry. I'm saying, my boy, my girl, there's a whole fridge full of food. Why didn't you take something to eat? And for some of us, we're in the house and we're in God's family, but we go to bed hungry. And God is saying, there's a whole fridge full of food. I've provided your freedom. You don't need to struggle. You have been set free, okay? But you need to believe. So like I said, I don't believe because we're not perfect and we live in a sinful world, but I am no longer a sinner. I'm a saint. When you become saved, you are a saint, a new creation, a brand new prototype, never been created before, okay? Does it mean if I'm a saint, I can never sin? No. Look at Adam and Eve. They were created without sin, right? And yet they chose to sin. So even though I'm a new creation, I can still choose to sin. But I do believe if we see the way God sees and realize, I'm actually free, then it's going to be far less of a struggle. Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm going to pray for us. Maybe you can close your eyes. If that was really difficult, was that really difficult for some of you? You can stick up your hand saying, that was hard. Okay, that was hard. I'm sorry, I knew that would be hard. We can't just do easy. I want to encourage you to go and wrestle with these scriptures, to go and read through what Paul is saying. Because you see, we've got to get to the meat. we've got to digest. We've got to say, God, what is it in you? So I'm going to pray for you. If that is really hard, maybe you can put your hand on your head and I'm going to ask, Holy Spirit, would you come and just break open the scriptures to us? Lord, would you come and reveal the truth of what you are trying to say in these scriptures, Father, that we tend to skip over, Father. We don't want to choose which parts of the Bible we like and don't like and which ones we understand and don't understand. Holy Spirit, come and break open the truth. Come and break open the truth that I am no longer under religion and under the law, but that we live under grace. And that there is an invitation to come closer because you are the lover of our soul. And God, I pray in Jesus' name, Father, for those who are saying, Lord, I don't know how to read the Bible. If that is you, God, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, for Holy Spirit to come and to really just come and break open the Word. Lord, that it, you know, I just see a picture of it being freshly broken bread, that we would digest and we would eat it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then I just feel for some of you, there was a light bulb that went on this morning. Is there anybody like that, that said, I've got one or two hands. Is there anybody like that that says, oh my goodness, I never knew this, now I know it. Okay, for you guys, I just feel God is saying, when we thank him, he multiplies. It's a little boy with the bread and the fish. When Jesus gave thanks, it started multiplying. So I just thank you, Father, for that which you revealed, this morning. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that the truths that got revealed, that you would multiply it, God, that you would multiply our understanding of what Jesus did on the cross. God, I know we will until eternity and forever not completely understand what Jesus did. But I pray, Holy Spirit, break it open for us. Give us more of an understanding of what Jesus did on the cross and what our inheritance is, God. May we not wait until heaven one day for us to step into what you paid for, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. But I don't know if there's anybody like that. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand. If you read the Bible and you're like, half the time I don't understand what I'm reading, then I want to invite you to come to the front so we can pray with you, because it's the Holy Spirit that breaks open the Word. Does that make sense? It's the Holy Spirit that reveals Jesus in these pages. So if that is you, I'm going to invite you to come to the front. And then I also want to, just for those that felt hopelessness with Liesl's word, for those who felt hopeless or that felt I've actually drifted from Jesus and there's stuff between me and Him and I want to get back to Him. If that is you, why don't you also just come forward so we can pray for you. Is that all right? Yeah? Are you guys awake? Yeah? That's okay, you made it. So maybe we can stand, the ministry team, you can come forward. If you would love for anybody to pray with you, just come and pick somebody here in front and they're going to pray with you. God, that you would break it open so that we might understand and be transformed, God. I bless every mind, every heart, every body, God, to have a good week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.